hard, she's young. Everybody needs to have some fun. Serious, well, she can change your mind. Highbrow folk make ghetto joke and whisper when we walk by. A better love never gonna find. Everybody loves that ghetto girl. Ain't no substitute in the uptown world. Those curls, that smile, you know you make me scream. Sweet, good hearted, yeah. Every head turn your way. I tell you that I love you, and with me, you've got to stay. Yeah. Rock those hips, dance, she slips her hand in mine. Substitute in a uptown world. You got those curls and smile, you know, make me scream. Ooh, oh yeah, yeah. I love that girl. Substitute in the uptown world. You got those curls, that smile, make me scream. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that is Lipbone Redding. He's here in the studio with me right now. He was just in the 4th of July parade that we have here in Paonyar, Cherry Days Parade. How did that, how was that experience for you?
Good times.
It was, I know.
It was fun. I ate a lot of cherries.
Yeah.
Morning. Yeah.
We have a good crop this year.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
And it's good.
They say it's when they pick them right out of the field or out of the orchard, wherever the cherries come from, they are delicious. And
out
I
of
can
the
attest.
Field.
Yeah. Out of the old cherry field. The old cherry machine spits them out one at a time in perfect condition.
You know, where are you living now? You're, because I feel like I'm Facebook friends with you. So your posts are from all over the world. It seems like you spent quite a bit of time in South America recently.
Yeah,
is that where you were?
Yeah, Guatemala, Central America, Guatemala, Mexico, this past winter. And I was in the Caribbean and, you know, some tropical climes.
I feel like you're picking beaches a lot. I'm noticing that about your tours.
Yeah. if you got to be somewhere, you might as well be in a nice place. That's what I figure. Like Paonia, Colorado, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think you like it here. You've been here a few times.
I do. I've been coming here for 10 years, actually. I remember the first time I rolled into town, the trees had a certain sort of iridescence and illumination to them. And I was like, oh, wow, this place is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just keep coming back.
I know. Well, it means a lot that you like it because you really have been all over the world.
Yeah.
So that you pick this as one of the spots that you want to return to, that makes me feel good about, well, I already feel good about it, or I wouldn't live here.
We don't need to tell people how nice it is too much. Because
yeah, let's, okay, enough of that. Nobody needs to know these things.
Nobody needs to know.
So I remember the first time that I met you, it was probably, I don't know, like when I first started working at KVNF. And we had a DJ that dropped everything he was doing and jumped on the tour bus and became like your permanent, you know, fan.
Yeah.
I traveled with you. Yeah. How often does that happen, Lipbone?
Time to time, you know. I'm all for the personal experience.
Right.
You know, I just changed my tag, which I'd been using on one of my social media sites, but I just changed the one to Facebook, and it's traveling the world, making music and friends.
Uh-huh.
And that really is kind of how I approach my music. And like somebody said to me, I was sitting around a table the other night with a bunch of people who were really listening to my stories and music, and I felt so important and so purposeful, filled with purpose. And you know, then one woman goes, you know, you're really going to make it one day. And I'm thinking, I mean, you know, God bless her. And I'm thinking, I already have. This is it. I really love this.
Yeah.
So I really just enjoy that really personal connection that music gives. And it's my ticket. It takes me everywhere. And I really enjoy that. And I try to be as authentic as possible. You know?
Yeah, you seem like a people person. Because people don't just come out to see you play music. They come out to see you, you know. Even when I went and saw you in New York when you were still playing at Jules. Mm-hmm. And you had a crowd of friends there.
So oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's nice. That's a nice way to do it. Do you miss that whole little East Village scene that you had going there?
Sometimes. And then I went back a few years ago just to say hello. And like I think last year I went back and... I took a friend on the Lipbone tour of New York, like all my old haunts, Jules and Bar Tabac. I even went to the subway station mm-hmm. that I used to play. And it does, in my stories, it does seem very romantic. And it was at the time very romantic. But then I'm kind of standing at the subway stop and it's just like I described it with the tiles and it smells bad. And I'm thinking, I'm glad I get to go to Paonia and places like
right.
that now rather than have to be here all the time. But it was something. Yeah, I do miss it, but I'm glad I've grown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same, because I lived there for 10 years, and I'm glad I did that in my 20s. That was a good thing to do
you
in my 20s.
You need a lot
20s.
Of energy. That,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got lost in all of the creative avenues that I could. I actually showed up in New York. I thought I was going to be an actor.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, I went to school for this and
where? Which school?
East Carolina University,
mm-hmm.
in my hometown. So I was ready to leave, and I just took off out of there and went straight to New York. And I was like, I'm going to be in show business. And I just didn't know what aspect that I was going to do, you know, looking back. And then I discovered jazz and poetry and all this crazy performance art, people doing weird things and protesting things. And it was during the Moore Gardens movement when they were reclaiming the vacant lots. And I used my music to get involved with that. And I don't know. Well, what
you
a
did
ride.
Something. You did something called Love Sphere.
Yeah,
what
we still
is that?
Do that. We still do it every year. It's like 21 years now we've been doing it. It started out as a 36-hour narrative about a group of people who got into this Love Sphere time machine, and we all had character names, and we all performed music, and we went on to every year we do a different play. Like one year we did the story of Orpheus and Eurydice, and then another year somebody wrote a musical about the first FM radio. It's actually kind of interesting. It's an interesting musical. And then we get other people involved. So it's just basically it's a sort of gala slash performance that happens every vernal equinox. And it's never the same twice. And we don't know what it's going to be up until a few months before. But we all, you know, everyone knows that that's when it's going to be. And this year was actually in Greensboro, North Carolina. We did it in New York for years. And there are YouTube videos out there, and you're going to look at them. Some of them you're going to go, what?
What do we Google to see this?
I don't know. Love Sphere.
All right.
L-O-V-E-S-P-H-E-R-E.
I'm going to check it out.
It's wild. It is post-punk in all its glory.
Were you a punk?
I was post-punk. I missed the punk era. I was too young for that. But
really?
I did play at CBGB's.
I wasn't. I was an 80s punk.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you could get in on it.
Yeah, I might have been able to get. I just missed the boat, I guess. I was in Eastern North Carolina listening to blues and boogie, and we had this stuff down there called beach music.
Oh.
You know, it's just people, they have a dance, special dance. It's like Motown.
Really?
Kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, they made a movie out of it. It's called Shag.
Oh,
I think it's kind of like Dirty Dancing a little bit. It's fun.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
It's a little, I don't know. It's very local.
So I have a question. I've been asking deep questions.
Oh,
lately.
Sure.
I have a couple of them for you. So, why do you think it's important to support the arts like on a huge scale? You know, when you're talking about people who give millions of dollars to arts programs. When, you know, you could make the argument that, well, there's like children starving. Why are we giving millions of dollars to the arts?
Because the greatest thing that human beings do is come up with ideas. And then we turn ideas into things. And art is somehow integral to that process. Because if we just made things, which seems to be the way that the scale tips a lot lately. We just make things and we're a consumer society and then we consume things. But doing things and indulgence without some kind of creative act behind it is just decadence. And that's what it is. So I think art allows us, and the funding and large-scale funding for the arts allows us as a world to sort of balance ourselves and it adjusts the moral compass. It keeps everything going right on track. I mean, you know, if you got an engine, you can't just put gas in it. You got to put oil in it and all these other things too. It's not one thing or the other. So, I mean, we are some kind of an idea engine, and we must, if we're ever going to reach our true point of evolution, our true glory as the human race, we need to keep that going.
Hmm. You think about even communities where literally, you know, people are starving. It doesn't mean they stop singing. That kind of stuff still, art still finds a way, even when, you know, we're struggling just trying to sort of survive.
Well, and the truth of it is, if there were more large scale art funded projects, there probably wouldn't be as many starving people, because art creates empathy. I mean, it really does. You can't walk into a museum and sit there and look at a Van Gogh for 15 minutes and not feel something. And then you look to the person next to you and feel something all of a sudden. That's what it does to you. Mm-hmm. Music does the same thing. In a big crowd, I just look around, everyone's smiling and nice to each other. They don't know why.
And I'm here with Lipbone Redding, and he's going to perform in the park tonight for Cherry Days. And
Cherry Days.
I know.
I love that you call it Cherry Days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. We have a couple festivals that are revolve around fruit, really, because we also have the Harvest Fest too. Mm-hmm. That's more apples and peaches, so mm-hmm. have to come back for that one. Have you been here for Harvest Fest?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
I've heard lots of great things about Harvest Fest.
Yeah, can we hear another song?
Yeah, sure you can. Let's think real quick. How about this one? How about an old Lipbone classic?
Sounds good.
I'll play the radio version. How about that? When I was coming out of the sky in a big old jet airplane, making for the runway of Santiago, Chile, we landed and I look out the window and there's about 30 stray dogs running next to the airplane. Poodle heads, dachshund legs, Doberman pincher bodies, all running real fast. They followed us all the way to the arrival gate. Tails wagging and tongues hanging out. I thought I'd never seen a happier sight than a dog. In Santiago. I'm a dog on the streets of Santiago. Once had a home, now I'm stray. Times I run alone with my compañero. Freedom is a struggle, I don't want it any other way. Santiago, 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 Santiago. Now listen, Mama was a purebred, yeah, she lived the life. She had fences and family. She was a rich poodle's wife. But then she fell in love with Daddy's one floppy ear. And one night just hopped the fence, hey, that's how I am here. Bone in a trash bin behind La Moneda, just known the rough life since I was a pup. Mama said, welcome to your life, kid. Make the most of it. You got nothing to lose, never give up. Good luck, baby, good luck. In Santiago, 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 Santiago. Music, y'all. Music.
music, that's what warms up the night. And here on the corner, we howl at the moon for all we're lonesome tonight and all that is right. Oh, Santiago, Santiago.
That one. That was the first song I ever heard of yours.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I have another deep question.
Yeah, sure, sure.
All right. So, what were the three most pivotal events in your musical career, would you say?
Well, the subway, playing in the subway was a big deal for me. That gave me sovereignty and independence and a feeling of whether anybody likes me or not, I don't care. I can still explore the depths of my whatever talent or whatever you want to call it, the realms of possibility. I can still do that, and I don't really care what other people think. And I think that works. I think people like that. So somehow, ultimately down the road, that was one. I think when I first started getting radio play was a big deal too. I realized that I was able to, because I remember I came out to Colorado actually because I got my radio report for the first time, and I saw all these Colorado stations, and I got in. I flew out here and I rented a car and I drove around to all the community radio stations, including KVNF, and you know there's KDNK, and there were KAFM and KSUT, just all over. They were all playing my records out here. And it was an eye opener for me. I was, wow, these people really like me. Okay.
These people that don't even know me.
People don't even, exactly. These strangers like me. Oh, all right. And then I started to come out here and then I started to tour. It's like it was because of this that I began traveling so much to play music. So that was a big deal for me when I first started to get radio play. And then the third one, well, that's hard too. I mean, if I go back, I think 9/11 was a big deal too, because I was in New York. That changed everything for me. That came a little earlier, but that was the end of the subway era there for me. My last night in the subway was September 10th, 2001. Then after that, and then I started to travel to go. Mm-hmm. I went to India. I went to Europe. I went to all these other places. I mean, those are tangible, physical moments. It's hard to say because it's so, there's an accretion of knowledge and experience that suddenly one day you wake up and go, oh man, let me try this. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say, but I think those were three very big events mm-hmm. in my life.
Oh, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of the soul song covers that mm-hmm. you do.
Yeah.
Because they're sort of obscure, like Why Can't We Live Together? I mean, there's other people have covered that, but it was originally Timmy Thomas.
Oh, yeah, Timmy Thomas.
From 1973.
Yeah.
Now I guess Drake does a version of it.
Does he really?
Yeah. And then you do Be Thankful for What You've Got, and you just nail that stuff. That's definitely in your – that's part of, you know, what makes up your style.
My musical palette.
Yeah. Can you tell me how you got started on that fabulous stuff?
Yes. My mother's disco record collection when I was a kid. She had albums and she had she was a single mom, you know, she was hitting the dating scene again. And she was, you know, going out dancing and learning dance moves and doing all this stuff. And she had a big record collection with funky tunes and I just listened to those and check them out, and I discovered all these amazing, God, where do I start? I mean, everything from the 360 Degrees of Billy Paul, remember that guy? Me and Mrs. Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones. Anyway, that was
yeah.
sorry. But anyway, well, this one okay. to what... Earth, Wind, and Fire, and the oh, when the Bee Gees put out that Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, I just went crazy,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was. I remember there were people saying bad things about disco, and I was like, what are you talking about? This is the greatest thing that's ever happened. I guess maybe they were talking more about the culture of it, but I didn't know. I was a little kid.
I never quite understood that either. I was born in 71. So, yeah, I remember my mom and some of her friends, like, making fun of it and putting it down. And I was like, "This anything that you can, like, dance to that's just... that high energy, you know, and that weird, like, what's wrong with that? I still don't understand.
Well, there's a really great jazz saxophone player named Daniel Carter in New York who I used to do shows with, and he used to allow me to do shows with him. He's a really great, well-known guy and in New York, that is. And he, we were standing on the corner. We used to stand on the corner of Avenue A and Houston Street after the gigs or rehearsals, and we just talk about this and that. And one guy one time was going, "Oh man, disco music, man, dizzy." And Daniel looks at this guy and he goes, "Hey man, you know, it's just music, man. You shouldn't be scared of music. You're a musician. Not only that, it's just, man, maybe people just needed to get on the dance floor for a minute. You know, maybe they just need to dance, you know." And I'm like, "Well, damn, that's about right." You know, that's how I felt about it.
Yeah.
And also roller skating.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Let's not forget roller skating.
And the whole fashion thing around it, there's not a problem with that either.
No.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So but I get a lot. I get a lot. Yeah, here's the disco. I get a lot of my groove from my mom's disco record collection.
Yeah. Is your mom still around?
Yeah. Yeah. Did
she come out and see you?
Yeah, she does. Yeah. She's the loudest one in the audience. Usually.
Is she?
Yeah. She cheers. Yeah, she's good.
Nice. All right. Well, let's have one more song before you go.
Oh, okay.
If we could.
Would you like to hear a kind of a new one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a new record coming out?
I do. I've been working on a new record. I was just in San Francisco a couple weeks ago and started the preliminary tracks, and I think this is going to be on it. I was actually in Moab the other day, and we were on the radio there, and this fella comes in, and he's getting ready to take off on the Pacific Crest Trail, and his girlfriend is there, and they're, you know, I can tell they're having a parting moment all week, and they asked me to play him a song, so I actually had this one that I had just recorded, so it goes like this. I dedicate this song to the people who belong, to the mystery, the crater lake in Oregon. The people ride on the clouds and talk to coyotes, and I'm from another world. I'm sure it's one you never heard of, from another world. We are from another world, but we're one and of the same. Long before you came and filled the land with cars, we had traveled to the stars. Up there is me and it is you. Oh, 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 oh. Mm-hmm.
Don't let the same thing that killed the land deem to you your worth. No one owns you, though some will claim you as a noble claims a serf. The truth is only barefoot love and lightning strike the ground. It ain't nothing here keeping you chained and bound. You ain't chained or bound, neither chained. From the north.